Welcome to KUI News, brought to you by Student Media and UI's student newspaper, The Argonaut. KUI News is committed to bringing you the most current news, sports, opinions, and entertainment information within the Mollusca community, the country, and the world. KUI 89.3 FM is a student-owned and operated radio station, and all news and opinions are those of our student journalists and not those of our university. KUI News is underwritten by UI's own student magazine, Blot. Blot is on stands twice a semester on UI's campus and throughout the Mollusca community. For more information about Blot, navigate to blot.uidaho.edu. And now for today's newscast.
Welcome to KUOI News. Happy Monday, everyone. Today is September 12th, and I'm Britt Kaiser. On today's show, we have, for news, a rundown of what to expect during the campus-wide Humans vs. Zombies game, a preview of ASUI's Student Leadership Tour, and a review of the International Union for the Conservation of Nature's business meeting in conjunction with its outdoor workshop last weekend. For sports, we have a recap of last weekend's volleyball tournament, the Montana Invitational, and a review of Friday's football game versus the North Dakota Fighting Sioux. We also have a recap of last weekend's Campus Tennis Challenge. For arts, it's Mixtape Monday, everyone. Keep listening for this week's playlist. And last but not least, for opinion, we have a piece on the latest, but not necessarily the greatest, memorabilia ring. First, here's Elizabeth with information on the campus-wide Human vs. Zombies game.
The infection arrives at the University of Idaho September 15th. The onslaught of the horrid is imminent. More than 300 UI humans will have to remain vigilant, keeping a constant weathered eye out for brain eaters during the 10-day invasion that will be InterVarsity Christian Fellowship's Humans vs. Zombies, a campus-wide game of moderate tag. Jacob Bow, InterVarsity's central organizer for the first game, said the local chapter of the National Christian Group tried a similar role-playing game a few years prior. After that, people were excited about it, Bow said. They wanted to do it again, and so someone mentioned Humans vs. Zombies. I went out and I looked it up and said, why not? Humans vs. Zombies was invented in 2005 by students at Goucher College in Baltimore, Maryland, and has spread to more than 650 colleges and universities around the world since. In the game, every player but one starts as human. Armed with Nerf guns, socks, and other soft objects, the humans have to not only survive being chased by a horde of zombies, but also complete the tasks given to them by a scientist trying desperately to find a cure for the virus creating the undead scourge. The scientist is UI's own little addition to the game. The player chosen to be the original zombie then begins his hunt for the humans, anyone on campus wearing a bandana on their arm or leg. As he tags them, they too become zombies and their bandanas become headbands. Every zombie must feed, make a tag, every 48 hours, or starve to death and be out of the game. The humans have only two defenses against these insatiable creatures, their weapons and safe zones. Safe zones include all buildings, classes, parking lots, sports practices. But everywhere else on campus is fair game, Bo said. Students living off campus can play as well, so long as they make an appearance on campus every 24 hours. InterVarsity is working in conjunction with a broadcast media class to capture the game on film to provide a reference for people interested in playing in what Pertis said he hopes is the continuing tradition. Prospective students can check the website vandals.hvzsource.com or Facebook page to brush up on the rules, and orientation sessions will be held for all players at 7 p.m. September 12th through 14th in the Agriculture and Life Sciences Building, Room 106. For KUI News and Dylan Brown, I'm Elizabeth Rudd.
Thanks, Elizabeth. This year, ASUI has decided to reach out to student organizations to get feedback for making decisions that will affect campus through its first student leadership tour. Joe Black, ASUI Presidential Policy Advisor, said the tour, which will last September 12th through December 2nd, is for all interested student clubs and organizations. Black said ASUI President Samantha Perez and two other ASUI representatives will attend each organization's meeting and participate just as a member would. We're trying to reconnect with all of our organizations and all of our students, Black said. He said Perez will also take time in each club meeting to ask questions and collect feedback from members on specific campus issues and programs that ASUI provides. Black said ASUI's goal is to make itself more open and available so that students feel they can approach the members of ASUI with projects or ideas. We're here to work for them, not over them, Black said. Students will benefit from the leadership tour because it's a good way for their voices to be heard, Black said. It's more personal than sending an email or participating in a poll. Students will actually have FaceTime with ASUI representatives. Black said he wanted to do the leadership tour because he wanted to provide Perez with student input regarding how they live and the way their education is provided to them. He said this was because many of the decisions she makes are on the state level at the legislature and will affect them. He said this year, ASUI's overall push is to act in the interest of the students. Any and all organizations, as long as they're made up solely of fee-paying students and undergraduates, are invited to get involved with the tour, Black said. In order to do so, the organization's president can email Black at jcblack@uidaho.edu with a brief description of the club and its meeting times. For KUOI News, I'm Britt Kaiser. Now, here's Elizabeth again with a review of the IUCN Business Meeting and Outdoor Workshop last weekend.
Members of the International Union for the Conservation of Nature discussed how different communities around the world adapt to the changes within an ecosystem, and the McCall area was chosen as an example of the transition. The workshop, Commission on Ecosystem Management, was held September 10th at the McCall Outdoor School of Science in conjunction with the IUCN's annual business meeting that was held all day September 8th in the Teaching and Learning Center on the University of Idaho campus. IUCN is a large international organization located in Gland, Switzerland, that helps the world find solutions to its most pressing environmental changes. CEM is one of six commissions in the IUCN program and focuses specifically on helping improve ecosystem management changes and how communities deal with those problems. The meeting is held annually and rotates location among its 14 regions, with this year being North America. Main topics discussed were regional reports, assessment of the issues at hand, as well as some of the plans in preparing for the 2012 World Conservation Congress that will be held in Jeju, South Korea, said Steve Edwards, Commission on Ecosystem Management Chair of the North American Caribbean Region. UI President M. Duane Nellis addressed the meeting with recognition to the importance and seriousness of the ecological changes being made around the world, said Michael Jennings, Research Faculty Associate Professor in the Department of Geology and member of CEM. The McCall area was chosen for the outdoor workshop because it was a good example of a community in transition, which allowed them to compare it to the other similar changing communities around the world, Jennings said. For Michelle Gregg and KUI News, I'm Elizabeth Rudd.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Here's Chloe with her mixtape this Monday.
We all know the way it goes. If a song sells well once, it's only a matter of months until another version hits radio waves. Whether it's country, pop, rock, or blues, every band has a few cover songs up their sleeve. Baby, originally performed by Justin Bieber, is covered by Relient K. For a year, many have been avoiding all things Justin Bieber like the plague, but this has undoubtedly been the year of the Bieber Empire. Now, pop-punk band Relient K injects its flawless harmonies and quirky beats into Bieber's original track. We can no longer fear the Biebs, and you can actually like this song and still be cool.
You know you love me.
It's My Party by Leslie Gore, covered by Amy Winehouse. Winehouse's life and untimely death may have been pretty mysterious, but there's no doubt that she could sing. Her unique voice and earthy rhythms lend a refreshing beat to the 1960s original.
It's my party. I cry if I want to. Cry if I want to. Cry if I want to. You won't cry till you're in.
Hurt by Nine Inch Nails, covered by Johnny Cash. It's hard to imagine country legend Cash listening to industrial rock band Nine Inch Nails, but he did, and he made one of the most awarded country covers in the decade. With gritty lyrics and haunting piano, Cash hit the nails right on the head with this cover.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole.
Beat It by Michael Jackson, covered by Fall Out Boy. The Prince of Pop had it right. A killer guitar solo in the middle of a catchy dance tune is the formula for instant success. Fall Out Boy's cover of this classic is spot on, modernized, with John Mayer on the axe. When this song comes on, there's no doubt you'll feel the need to rock out. Don't fight it. Blackbird by The Beatles, covered by Evan Rachel Wood. Wood's cover, filmed for the Beatles-inspired film Across the Universe, is so incredible it's almost scary. Imagine a choir of angels, seriously, spot-on vocals, yet still reminiscent of the classic tune. For KUOI News, I'm Chloe Rambo.
Thanks, Chloe. And now here's Theo with a recap of this week's volleyball tournament.
The Vandal volleyball team looks like it is starting to come together after last weekend when they won 2 of 3 games at the Montana Invitational. The Vandals, who are 4-5, hadn't been able to put it all together in their previous two tournaments, having gone 1-2 in each. But Coach Debbie Buchanan said her team was getting stronger, and they proved it this weekend. Idaho started the tournament with a bang, rolling Cal State Fullerton in straight sets on Friday morning. Buchanan said she likes how her team responded in the match. The first two games we showed a lot of control, and I think the biggest challenge for our team is after you win the first two, can you come back and play great in the third one, Buchanan said. Idaho couldn't repeat on Friday afternoon when they fell to South Dakota 3-1. After losing the first set, the Vandals stormed back to tie the match, but the rest of the match would belong to South Dakota as they rolled Idaho in the next two sets to take the win. We just didn't respond, Buchanan said. I think that's kind of the theme for us right now. When we can reduce the errors, we're winning those games, and that's something we need to keep working on. The Vandals were able to shake off the loss Saturday evening when they beat Montana 3-0. The Vandals played well all match long and were led by senior Alicia Milo, who had a double-double and was named to the all-tournament team. Idaho will be back in action on Thursday when they travel to Portland. For KUOI News, this is Theo Lawson.
Thanks, Theo. And now over to Madison with a review of this weekend's football game.
A second-half offensive burst proved vital to the Idaho Vandals' success during a 44-14 romp of the North Dakota Fighting Sioux Saturday afternoon in the Kibbe Dome. It took senior quarterback Brian Reeder nearly the entire first half to find a groove that was missing during the team's loss to Bowling Green last Thursday. But the senior captain completed 15 consecutive passes in the second and third quarters, ultimately leading Idaho to victory. Akey said the victory was important for team morale as they move into the rest of their 2011 season.
I'm happy. It's nice to smile. I'm glad to see those players smile again. I'm glad to have a finish like we expect to have. I thought we came out and performed better in the second half, more like I expected us to, and I think more like our players expected themselves to.
Idaho fell victim to back-to-back UND touchdowns, including a 79-yard punt return, and fell behind 14-3 early in the second quarter. Reeder escaped an extremely slow start late in the first half when he connected with Armani Johnson for a touchdown with 1 minute and 1 second remaining in the first half. In the second half, Reeder started where he left off, throwing an 18-yard touchdown pass to Marcel Posey for the junior's first ever touchdown in a Vandal uniform. The Vandal secondary took care of the rest, tallying 2 interceptions and holding the Sioux to 0 second half points. Reeder said that it's nice to see his offense get back into the rhythm that the coaches and fans have been looking for.
Successful offenses will start moving the ball, moving the ball, moving the ball. We were doing that at the beginning of the game. We're in that same hole we were in against Bowling Green, and we finally started coming out of it there at the end of the first half. And, you know, that's just kind of how we work as an offense. We, you know, get a little momentum going, a little rhythm going. And, you know, like I was saying, all camp, we're hard to stop once that happens. So we just got to maintain that rhythm every game.
5 different Vandals scored the team's 5 offensive touchdowns, and Reeder ended the game with 4 touchdown passes and 299 yards through the air. Mike Scott and Johnson each caught for 90-plus yards and 1 touchdown. Freshman cornerback Bradley Njoku ran an interception back for the team's sole defensive touchdown during only his second appearance as a Vandal, and junior running back Ryan Bass rushed for 60 yards and 1 touchdown. The Vandals will head to College Station, Texas next week for a showdown with the Big 12 powerhouse Texas A&M. For KUI News and Theo Lawson, I'm Madison McCord.
Thank you, Madison. And here's Chuck with a recap of the Campus Tennis Challenge.
The stiff competition made for great practice this weekend for the Vandals men's and women's tennis teams at the USTA-ITA Campus Showdown. Women's tennis coach Dustin Pollock said the showdown held at the University of Idaho is a good chance for both of the Vandals teams to get some playing in during the fall season as they wait for the spring season to arrive. Vandal tennis player Victoria Lozano, the number one seed in the tournament, said that this is the type of practice the teams need because the best way to improve is playing matches. The Vandals played in 16 player brackets and played each opponent just one set. The pool consisted of Vandal players as well as Lewis and Clark players. Lozano made it clear to the final match in her bracket but lost a close battle 5-7 against the number one seed from LCSC, Dominika Jasova. Lozano played a set against her twin sister Alejandro earlier in the tournament, which she said is always awkward and uncomfortable. Though the twins may be the only family that competed against each other, the men's bracket was packed full of Vandal men, meaning that most of the matches would be Vandal against Vandal. Sophomore Dmitry Pervashchikov took first place, winning his final match 6-1 against teammate Alan Shin, but he said the match definitely did not look like a 6-1 game from out on the court. Pollock said it is nice to kick off with something on campus to get the year started and to get some match play under their belt before they go off and play tournaments elsewhere.
That was Echoes by Washed Out. And now here's Rhiannon with her opinion on the latest memorabilia ring.
In a world obsessed with jewelry, there are rings for everything. Rings for graduations, sports teams, promise rings for new love, engagement rings, and wedding bands. But now there's a new type of memorabilia ring, except this one doesn't represent something normally thought of as pleasant. It's the divorce ring. This diamond ring from jewelers Sprinter and Foreman is an 18-karat gold broken heart with a diamond wedge that represents shattered love. It's an ugly little thing that costs $3,200. It's a pricey way to say, sorry, it didn't work out. Divorce isn't something most people celebrate. Sometimes there's the post-divorce party or getaway that friends plan to distract the recently single divorcee. But really, is it necessary to design specialized rings to represent a shattered heart? If someone wants to purchase it for themselves, it would be a way of letting friends and family know that a marriage is over without having to go into painful details every time someone asks. But there's also another mature way to handle the situation, and all anyone has to do is say, it just didn't work out. Divorce is a personal issue that shouldn't be made public by wearing a ring, and close acquaintances will wait for you to be ready to talk about it. Instead of spending a ridiculous amount of money on something so meaningless, go on a shopping spree and spoil yourself. Clothes, movies, shoes, other types of jewelry. There's a lot more than a crazy broken-hearted ring that can soothe the burn of divorce for more than $3,000. The main debate at hand is the ring tacky or sweet? It's tacky. Wearing something every day on your wedding finger, which is supposed to represent blossoming and continual love that represents a failed relationship, doesn't make sense. Who wants to be continuously reminded of their failures? Even with the splits between couples that end with both parties in agreement, it still seems like a slap in the face for a woman to be given a $3,000 ring that will do nothing but remind her of what could have been. People make mistakes. Sometimes divorce is the best option for a couple, but their decision shouldn't be commemorated with a $3,200 ring. A ring is the traditional symbol that represents a man and woman choosing to live together for the rest of their lives, and it should stay that way. For KUOI News, I'm Rhiannon Renas.
Thanks, Rhiannon. Now here's Anthony with your calendar update.
This is Anthony with your calendar update for Monday, September 12th. Tomorrow, Tuesday, September 13th, Musaic will be performing at the Moscow Food Co-op at 5 p.m. On Thursday the 15th, Hillstop will roll through John's Alley. And on Saturday, September 17th, an Indian summer dance party will come to Moscow's Ganache at the Red Door, featuring DJ Husband and DJ Control K. Doors are at 10 p.m., you must be 21 to enter, and there is no cover charge. On Sunday, September 18th, Grammy nominee Chris Trapper of the Push Stars will be performing at the Bell Tower in Pullman. Doors are at 7 p.m. Contact Wilson Promotion for ticket info at 208-596-8006 or listen to KUOI as we're giving tickets away for this concert. In Spokane tonight, everyone's favorite, the B-52s, will be performing at the Fox Theater. This has been your calendar update for Monday, September 12th. For KUOI News, I'm Anthony Saya.
Thanks for the update, Anthony. Now for our Twitter question of the week. How did you commemorate 9/11 this year? Tweet us your answers at ArgOpinion. Thank you for listening to KUOI News. Today's show featured music by Washed Out. Washed Out is a newly signed artist to Sub Pop Records. For more information, visit www.subpop.com/washedout. Now, here's their track, Amor Fati. For KUOI News, I'm Britt Kaiser.
You fall in love.
Thanks for listening to KUOI News. KUOI News is brought to you by Student Media in conjunction with UI's Argonaut. For more information about news on this program, navigate to KUOI.org or UIArgonaut.com. If you'd like to submit a story to KUOI News, feel free to email us at KUOI@UIdaho.edu or arg-radio@UIdaho.edu. KUOI News is underwritten by UI's own student magazine, Blot. Blot is on stands twice a semester on UI's campus and throughout the Moscow community. For more information about Blot, navigate blot.uidaho.edu. And remember, KUOI News is committed to bringing you the most current news, sports, opinions, and entertainment information within the Moscow community, the country, and the world.